Chapter 9. The steady thrum of the helicopter rang out over the English countryside as the vehicle approached with Ravenhall directly in their flight path, and I knew we had to move quickly. The screech of a dinosaur was howling on the wind, and if we stuck around out here much longer, we'd probably end up locked in a dino battle while whoever was in that chopper found a means of landing. "We need to hide at Hara," I said, "or we need to try and blast that thing out of the sky. Cat, do you reckon we could get it with a grenade?"
"Oh, we're just gunning down the government now?"
Becca asked.
"Maybe we should rethink that one. I'm guessing they have more backup than us."
"Yeah,"
Cat nodded.
"I have to admit, I don't feel great about that. They're here to help. They haven't done anything wrong."
"They're coming for this ship and for Idhara," I said. "They're not going to stand around chatting or give us time to explain anything. They'll take her and go before she can fix the radio."
"Then she'll never be able to stop the others,"
Haywan said.
"And we will be very screwed."
"Exactly," I nodded. "They can probably already see the ship. They might have already called for backup."
"Fuck, well, that's not convenient,"
Becca scoffed as she squinted at the chopper. "I said might," I clarified.
"Okay, fine."
The blonde Brit turned to Kat.
"Can we grenade it out of the sky?" "Depends on how close it gets,"
the beautiful soldier replied.
"I don't think it can land on the Raven Hall roof, so it might not come near enough to hit. The force field is up,"
Haywan said.
"Even if they come down, they can't get to Adhara, right?"
"But they can get to us," I said. "And even just knowing that her ship's here is bad enough. Who knows if they have some secret technology that could break through a force field like this?"
"What if they..."
Becca began. But she was cut short as the dino we'd been hearing gave another ear-shattering shriek. Then a huge pterodactyl rocketed up from the cliffside and pelted toward the chopper. "Fuck, get back!" I belted, and dragged the three girls back from the edge of the ship. Then we crouched out of sight and watched in stunned silence as the dino raised its huge taloned feet ahead of itself and slammed into the helicopter's spinning blades. It shrieked again as I saw one of its talons get lopped off in the process. But it fucking held on, and it wrenched the vehicle around before it ripped the propellers clean off and threw their helicopter aside. The black chopper spun wildly through the air as chunks of broken propellers and black siding scattered over the countryside, and there were two short screams as four figures were flung from the spinning craft. Before they dropped far, the pterodactyl swooped around and clamped its beak on two of the bodies in midair, and seconds later, the last two bodies struck the trees like spinning bottles, and their screams cut out. Then the helicopter crashed into the distant trees surrounding Raven Hall. Smoke billowed up in a dense black shaft where it hit, and we stood in horrified silence for a moment as the pterodactyl shrieked once more and flew back out over the sea. Only the sound of the howling wind echoed around us, and none of us moved for several seconds. "Fuck," I finally gasped.
"Well, I guess that takes care of that problem,"
Becca said, as we continued to stare at the distant pterodactyl. "I'm not sure it does," I said. "Even if those guys didn't get a chance to radio their headquarters about this, them not returning will probably just mean they send another group."
"A group that's better prepared,"
Haywan nodded.
"But we can't technically be blamed for murdering government officials,"
Becca said, and shrugged.
"I think that's the first time a dino has ever done anything helpful.
Buys us time, at least,"
Kat said. It kind of made a mess. I considered the smoke blotting out the gray clouds ahead of us. But yeah, I guess it could buy us more time. That's good.
"Should we check on those last two guys, or..."
Haywan asked.
"No,
they're dead, the corporal and I both said in unison.
"Your ships are not very strong,"
Adhara called from behind us, and I turned to see the lilac woman strolling over.
"The Omati should not be able to catch your ships. That is not a good sign for humans. Why is everything so primitive when this cannot be good for you?"
"Well, we didn't really design those sorts of crafts with giant flying reptiles in mind," I chuckled. Adhara pursed her lips.
"Any luck with the radio?"
Becca asked.
"Luck?"
Adhara asked.
Have you fixed it?"
Becca clarified.
"Progress has been made. I will deactivate the barrier so you can come back, but the sharp beak was impressive. We do not have many that size on my planet." "Then how is it arriving on ours?"
Haywan asked.
"The talkers and the scientists must be working very hard,"
the alien replied, and she turned around and returned to her craft.
Great,
Becca sighed. I looked back at the smoke from the fallen helicopter while we waited for the force field to vanish, and I imagined the crash would attract attention. But it was far away enough from the castle that it might actually distract dinos away from us. The force field buzzed and disappeared beside us, and we piled back into the alien ship.
So, where's the radio?
Kat asked as she looked around the control room.
Everywhere,
Edhara replied as she carefully turned a large dial.
You press the black button down there, and the whole ship will hear you.
Awesome,
Heiwan said as she stared up at the silver ceiling.
And you can hear any incoming transmissions all around you? That is right,
Edhara nodded. She looked slightly amused at how excited Heiwan seemed, but I guessed explaining her ship to us would have been like me explaining an iPhone to someone from the Victorian era. Edhara pressed a button down by the front of the control panel, and there was a sudden thud behind me. I spun around with my rifle raised and saw that one of the doors along the back wall had opened slightly.
Oh, good,
Edhara said.
There is enough power now that the weapon room is unlocked.
Weapons? I asked. Can we look?
You can,
Edhara said, and she strode over to the open door with her chin raised proudly.
I have good weapons.
We all hurried to follow, and both Kat and Heiwan stepped on my boots trying to cut in line. Eventually, we all crammed inside just as a strange pinkish light illuminated the room, and a huge grin crept over my face as I took in the array of alien weaponry around us.
Holy shit!
Becca gasped. The area was almost as big as the control room, and it was like a walk-in closet for the deadliest-looking gadgets I had ever seen. And they were all neatly arranged on the walls and along slanted tables, as if they were works of art. Which they honestly were. There were razor-thin metal guns, rows of enormous cylinders with pale blue light striping the sides, and objects that looked like unmounted sword hilts hung upside down along one wall. I examined one of the large cylinders and noticed it had a trigger-like lever and a dip on one side, which I guessed was to fit on top of your shoulder. I figured it was some kind of massive grenade launcher, or whatever the alien equivalent of that would be. My instinct was to pick it up and study it, but I forced myself to be patient and not grab everything in sight. The dim pink light illuminated everything in an oddly girlish way as I turned full circle to admire the alien arsenal, and it made Edhara's silver freckles and hair almost fluorescent. The alien stood in a bit of a power stance at the center of the room with a smug look on her face while we all gawked at her collection. And when her eyes met mine, I realized the pink light made the metallic speckles in her green eyes glow as well.
Good weapons, yes?
The alien woman asked me. You could say that, I laughed. This is fantastic.
It's pink,
Becca gushed.
What all do you have here?
Kat asked.
Yeah, I want a tour,
Heiwan announced.
These are the best our sector can offer,
the lilac alien said as she waved an arm around the room, and then she pointed to one of the cylinders I had been eyeing.
This one here is a blaster. I like this weapon. Do you want to hold it?
Kat looked like her eyes were going to pop out of her head, and I laughed as the soldier nodded vigorously while her curls bounced around her face.
Here,
Edhara said, and she grabbed one of the huge cylinders and handed it to Kat.
It doesn't weigh anything,
the corporal gasped.
This is insane.
No, it is logical,
the beautiful alien countered.
For ease of use. Weapons should be light so you can carry them.
Yeah, I know. I just meant... Never mind, it's an earth thing.
Kat chuckled.
Okay, this part is for the shoulder,
Edhara explained, and rested a dip in the weapon's cylinder next to Kat's neck.
Hold the side for balance, and this is the firing mechanism. Do not fire the weapon in here. We will all die, and I do not have offspring yet to carry on my memories.
The alien pointed to a slider alongside the blaster, which looked like it got pulled back along a small track before you released it. Based on her description, I guess this blaster worked a lot like a slide-action firearm, but instead of a sliding handguard, it had a sleek lever protruding from the side just below the large, glowing cylinder.
This is for large opponents and should be fired from far away,
Edhara said.
If you use too close, it will destroy everything and maybe you.
What happens when you fire it?
Heiwan asked.
Whatever you pointed at will die very fast,
Edhara replied. Kat let out a low chuckle, and she gently stroked the side of the blaster. Her hazel eyes sparkled in the pink light, but I could have sworn her cheeks looked a little darker pink than the rest of her. "You okay there, soldier?" I asked.
"I think I'm in heaven,"
Kat moaned.
"And I want this blaster."
"I can tell," I chuckled. The pretty soldier sent me a lopsided grin, and then she eagerly thrusted the blaster out for me to try it out. The alien weapon was so light that it took a second to realize I was actually holding something that wasn't a toy, and the dip in the blaster's cylinder sat comfortably on my shoulder. The glow of the stripes along the sides made everything look blue around me, but it didn't seem too glaring that it would make it difficult to shoot accurately. I couldn't stop grinning as I got a feel for where the trigger mechanism sat. But Becca was bouncing up and down beside me, and I reluctantly passed the blaster off for her to play with next. The blonde Brit gasped like a little girl on Christmas the second the blaster was in her hands.
"I want one,"
the blonde Brit immediately announced.
"What's that one?"
Haewon asked excitedly. The Korean was on her tiptoes and trying to reach for one of the unmounted swords, and I came over to look as well. The weapon was made from what looked like a dark green metal, and it had a black button in the center where a thumb would rest. Adhara was several inches taller than Haewon, so she easily reached up above her to pull the weapon down, and then she handed it to the Korean.
"Do not aim it at friends,"
the alien warned,
"but press the button and see."
Haewon positioned herself so the handle faced away from the group, and an eager grin spread across her face just before she pressed her thumb down on the black button. Becca jumped beside me as a 3-foot blade made out of black metal suddenly materialized at the end of the green hilt. The blade seemed to sparkle in the pink lights, and it had a blue glow around the edge. "Holy shit!" I laughed. "What is that?"
"A fire sword,"
Adhara said.
"A what?"
Kat asked, and she looked like she was about to pass out with excitement. I put a hand on her shoulder and kissed the top of her head.
"It will burn the victim as well as cut,"
Adhara explained.
"It is like white-hot pain, and will slice through anything."
"Anything?" I clarified. "Even the side of this ship?"
"No, nothing can destroy my ship,"
the alien said with a scowl.
"Not ever."
"Of course, sorry," I chuckled.
"This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen,"
Haewon said as she carefully examined the blade.
"I can't believe you have weapons like this. You're so lucky, Adhara."
The alien smiled with instant pride, and her sharp cheekbones lifted as her perfect teeth glowed pink. I tried not to stare, but her smile lit up her emerald eyes, and I wondered if all of her kind were as beautiful as she was.
"Jason,"
Adhara suddenly said, and I snapped out of my thoughts.
"This is our sharp gun."
She picked up one of the ultra-thin weapons, and it looked a similar length to our own rifles, but made of bronze metal. When Adhara placed it in my hands, it felt cold but comfortable to hold. It weighed about the same as my Glock, but it was more like my rifle in length. The ultra-thin construction of it made it look so easy to conceal, and I wondered if it had been designed to be hidden easily.
"There are two ways to fire this weapon,"
Adhara said.
"The trigger is to kill. We have sharp bullets that come out."
"Sharp bullets?" I asked. "Do you mean the shape is more pointed for extra damage? What are they made of?"
"A blend of our strongest metals,"
Adhara said with a smug smile.
"I do not think you will have materials as strong. The shape helps it break through even the toughest barriers. Your planet has a lot to learn about making good weapons."
"Okay," I said as I examined the weapon. "And what's the second way to fire it?"
"You must be careful with the second way,"
the beautiful alien said.
"You see the slider on the top of the gun?"
I looked at the top of the bronze contraption, and sure enough, there was a very small lever embedded along the barrel.
"What does that one do?"
Becca asked as she peered over my shoulder.
"It will make them disappear,"
Adhara said.
"With the pop sound, they will melt into the ground. You won't see them anymore."
"Holy shit," I whistled, as I stared down at the razor-thin weapon. "So you can make your target evaporate?"
"Evaporate,"
Adhara repeated.
"Yes, this is the word. Be careful with this weapon. There is no way to take back. Only use the slider if you mean it."
"Well said."
Kat nodded with approval, and I could tell that the pretty soldier had drastically warmed up to the alien over the last few minutes.
You mean I really caught that?
Becca laughed.
You have alien guns that could fucking evaporate me? Yes, I do.
Edhara nodded, and I couldn't help chuckling at her stoic demeanor. We swapped over our weapons so we could each have a shot at holding them, and I stood with the sword in silence as I admired the glowing black blade. It was incredible to carry such an alien contraption, and the girls looked so badass with new weapons clutched in their hands. Becca posed with the sharp gun and mimed shooting down an invisible enemy out the door of the weapon room, and she muttered dino insults under her breath like she had a whole herd in her sights. Cat paced around the perimeter with the blaster swung over her shoulder, as if she was getting used to the feel of it. But I thought she might just be trying to keep the weapon to herself. Something about the way she kept patting the cylinder gave me the impression she'd already chosen her favorite fighter. Heiwan still looked like she was going to explode with excitement as she watched me practice a few swings with the fire sword. But eventually, she snatched the hilt out of my hands, and she struck a pose with the weapon over her head while she sent me a flirty smile. All three of my girls looked like murderous Barbies in the strange pink light, but Edhara looked more alien than ever as her green eyes danced with amusement over the scene.
I wish we had these for our trip here,
Becca said as she handed me the sharp gun to try out again.
Imagine how much easier life would have been if we could just fucking evaporate dinos. They are still hard to use,
Edhara said.
You need skills and training. These are much stronger than human weapons. This means they are more dangerous to use. How long did it take you to learn?
Heiwan asked as she slowly moved the sword around in front of her face, and then she traded me for the sharp gun.
Not long,
Edhara shrugged.
My memory taught me the basics. I only had to learn the newest models when they were produced. I will show you how to use them, maybe?
Cat's mouth fell open again as she stared at the alien, and I couldn't help laughing at the soldier's tough demeanor breaking at the mention of new toys.
We get to shoot them?
Heiwan gasped.
Really?
I want to so bad, I said. But maybe we should keep going until the radio is fixed and then we can try them out?
It is on timer,
Edhara said.
The system needs to cool before I can keep going with repairs.
Then hell yeah, I grinned, and pressed the black button on the sword, and the blade vanished back inside the handle. Show us how to use these things. Edhara nodded, and we started to make our way back out of the weapon room and out of the ship with our new weapons in hand. Then we passed through the force field, and I looked around to scope out a good spot for practice. There was a small cluster of trees in a field close by, which would hide us slightly from view but give us open space to shoot as well as a decent scope on our surroundings in case any dinos were lurking. Down there? I asked, and the girls nodded. I still had my rifle over my back, but I could already tell that the sword in my hand would be the preferable weapon as soon as I learned how to use it properly. I glanced up at the sky and saw that the gray clouds had started to clear, and luckily there was no sign of any other government choppers.
You think it was definitely here for the spaceship?
Becca asked as she noticed me scanning the sky. Yeah, I said, as we neared the clump of trees. It's too much of a coincidence. They must know that she's here. The hillside seemed to be dino-free as we reached the clump of trees, and Raven Hall seemed peaceful as the sky brightened behind it. We stopped when we were behind the cover of the trees and faced out onto the wide, empty fields that stretched out over the bottom half of the hillside with the farmhouses.
So,
Edhara said, as her silver freckles sparkled in the daylight.
Which one to learn first? Blaster,
Heiwan said. And Cat sighed as she handed over the weapon. Getting to hold the sharp gun instead seemed to cheer the soldier up again, and the Korean grinned from ear to ear as she held the large cylinder over her small shoulder and lovingly stroked it.
Blaster is for far away,
Edhara said, and she pointed over to a bush which sat near the bottom of the hill.
The small plant over there is a good distance. Really?
Becca asked.
That seems so far. It travels a long distance,
the alien nodded.
Any closer, and it could spray back onto you, and then you would get crispy.
What is it that comes out of it? I asked.
A nice blend of chemicals from our planet,
Edhara replied.
I do not think you know of them, but they form a ball of fire. Even to load the weapon is very dangerous. You must mix the two chemicals together through the tube, and you must wear gloves to do it. Now, I will demonstrate.
Haywan handed the lilac woman the weapon, and Adhara flung it over her shoulder in one swift and practiced motion before she aimed for the bush. Then the alien pulled back the sliding lever at the side of the weapon, and when it had reached the end of the small track, she let it go. A purple ball the size of an apple shot out of the blaster with a high-pitched hum, and it hit the bush in less than a second. The bush exploded into a mass of dirt and electric blue flames, which leapt up into the sky and danced in the wind. The fire had specks of purple within the blue, and my mouth dropped open at the sight of the alien element. Then the flames suddenly vanished as quickly as they had appeared, and there was not even a hint of smoke left behind to suggest there had ever been a fire. "Fuck yeah!" I cheered, and Cat whooped loudly beside me. Haywan had her hands over her mouth, and Becca's brown eyes looked like they might pop out of her head. But Adhara had a completely stoic expression on her face.
"That was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen,"
Kat said.
"I can't believe I've spent all this time using grenades when this thing exists."
"There isn't even smoke," I said, as I shook my head in disbelief.
"I want to try,"
the Korean beauty announced.
I think I should try first."
Kat sent Haywan a lopsided grin.
"You know, just to make sure it's safe to operate." "No way,"
Haywan chuckled.
"You've been blowing shit up for years in the name of your country. I get to—"
"Guys!"
Becca hissed.
"I think we have company."
The blonde Brit pointed down the hillside, and there was a raptor-like dino about the size of a Labrador dog alone in one of the fields to our left. It had dark brown scales and stood with its head cocked as it looked up at us. "Looks like it's alone," I whispered.
"Until it calls its buddies,"
Becca replied.
"Blast it,"
Adhara said, and she held out her weapon to Haywan.
"Me?"
the Korean asked, and her blue eyes widened as she took the blaster and propped it on her shoulder.
"The target needs to be a little closer,"
Adhara said as she carefully altered Haywan's hands and posture.
"You can aim with this if needed."
The alien tapped the side of the blaster, and a small scope attachment popped out. I instantly came closer and rubbernecked behind Haywan's head, and she chuckled as she shifted so I could get a look. The round scope magnified the countryside in front of me, but kept the view perfectly crisp, and it had a small red dot in the center that seemed to pulse a little bit. Then Adhara made a laughing sound, and I stepped back to give the girls some room to work. The alien adjusted Haywan's stance so she had one foot in front of the other, and she instructed the Korean to open her shoulders and keep her back straight. The small dino hadn't made a noise yet, but it slowly started to creep up toward us with its head cocking side to side every few steps.
"Pull back the firing mechanism,"
Adhara instructed, and Haywan gripped the sliding lever.
"Okay, it is close enough. When you have your aim, let go of the lever."
We all held our breaths as Haywan checked through the scope and then released the lever. The purple ball blasted toward the raptor, and it opened its fanged jaws, but didn't even have time to snarl or roar. The fiery orb soared straight into its mouth in a streak of alien flames, and the muffled explosion that followed sent guts and blood flying through the air in every direction. The blue flames that followed seemed to burn away the flesh of the dino in midair, and as the flames vanished just like the first time, there was no trace of the creature left behind aside from some splatters of blood in the grass. A huge grin crept over my face as I took in the aftermath of our first dino kill with an alien firearm.
"I did it!"
Haywan yelled, and she did an adorable little dance and wiggled her butt.
"It's so quiet,"
Becca said.
"I mean, it obviously makes a noise when the dinos go pop, but it's so much more muffled than the noise our grenades make. These dinosaurs don't stand a fucking chance." "The thing to remember with the blaster,"
Adhara said,
"is it takes a few moments to reload, so you cannot shoot very fast. Save it for one long distance blast at a time." "Got it,"
Haywan nodded.
"What's next?"
"I'm guessing the sword is for close combat," I said as I held up the dark green hilt. "This would be good if something charges at you."
"Yes,"
Adhara agreed.
"The sword is only for close assaults, but one swipe into the flesh, and it will burn so bad and cut so deep, you will win every time."
"Can I try it on a tree without damaging the blade?" I asked, and the alien nodded. I turned to face the clump of trees behind us, and there were several low-hanging branches at my head height. I hit the black button on the hilt, and the blade appeared with a gentle buzz. The sunlight reflected tiny flashes of dark pink around the blade, and it felt so powerful in my hand, even though it was feather light. Then I raised it up and went to strike out at one of the thicker branches, and I expected to feel some sort of pressure or resistance, but the blade sliced through the thick wood like melted butter. Motherfucking Jedi. The branch hissed and crashed onto the ground next to me. And the end where my glowing blade sliced through it was charred black with smoke seeping out as the hissing sound continued. Imagine that. But it's a dino neck. I laughed as I held up the sword to admire the glow under the sunlight. I can't think of anything better for a close contact battle. Even if something does sneak up, they don't stand a chance as soon as you strike just once with this baby.
The sword is very good.
Adhara smiled a tiny bit.
But remember, if it is a large Omati, it is still important to aim properly. Put it down the snout, or through the eye socket to scramble the brain, or twist it in the heart. Something of that nature.
And the shotgun?
Kat asked as she held up the razor-thin rifle.
I need to see the evaporating shit in action.
Yes, it is nice.
Adhara stood a little taller and nodded.
Like I said, the sharp gun has two functions, shoot and evaporate. Trigger is for shooting. This is the most like human weapons from what I have seen. But the sharp gun can shoot through much thicker material.
Like the really thick hides on some of the dinos?
Becca asked with a cheeky grin.
It could work on all of the Omati, no matter their height.
Adhara answered.
And the lever at the top is for making the things melt into the ground.
You must trust us if you're going to let us hold a weapon like that, I said, and raised an eyebrow at the alien.
I move quickly.
Adhara smiled while her green eyes sparkled.
I could knock it out of your hand before you pointed it at me, but I do not believe you will.
I'd say you're correct, I chuckled.
How much ammo do you have for all of this?
Kat asked.
I don't want to waste any of your bullets.
How much?
Adhara asked as her face returned to a confused scowl.
The bullet machine is built in the ship. Bullet machine?
Becca scoffed.
Are you telling me your ship spews out refills of ammo whenever you need it? Of course,
Adhara replied.
How else would I get the refills? How do humans get refills?
They're produced in a factory, I explained. So we have a limited supply at the moment. We need to be really careful with them.
Primitive weapons, and you have limited ammunition?
Adhara stared at me with wide eyes.
How have you stayed alive so long?
Skills. I flashed Adhara another grin like I'd given her when I tried on the top hat, and this time I was certain she blushed a slightly dark shade of lilac. There was a distant rumble of footsteps, and we spun around to see a triceratop slowly plod along the road at the bottom of the hillside. It didn't seem to be in any kind of rush, and hadn't spotted us either, as it lazily walked alongside the woodlands.
Let's try the shotgun out on that,
Kat said as she carefully clutched the alien weapon.
If I get it down, you could try the sword on its skin too, Jason.
Remember when herbivores didn't bother us?
Becca asked.
We just ignored them, and they were only ever dangerous if they stepped on us?
Yeah, now they've become best buddies with the meat-eaters just to fuck with us.
Heiwan sighed.
Let's get closer.
Becca suggested.
Should we go out into the open without our motorbikes?
Heiwan asked as she glanced up at the sky.
We should go get the bikes first,
Kat said.
These alien weapons are impressive, but that's no reason to get stupid. We shouldn't risk it.
I was about to agree when the large triceratops suddenly snapped its head around and looked directly at us.
I guess our voices carried a bit,
Becca shrugged.
Oops. Oh well. Kat, off you go. Shoot the fucker.
That's a pretty fucking big dino, I muttered. If that gun doesn't... The dino started to charge straight at us before I finished speaking, and the thunderous pounding of its feet echoed out over the countryside. It looked like the dino had already been through hell on our planet, and there was a thicker scar over its sternum while its tail seemed to be encrusted with several layers of dried blood. Its horns were smeared with blood, too. And as it rapidly approached, I thought I saw a bloody shoestring caught around the right side horn. The girls were right about these herbivore fuckers. Weeks ago, I may have thought of a triceratops as a huge but harmless creature. But things had changed a hell of a lot since then. It was clear by the wild look in its black eyes that it was after nothing but human blood as it pelted up the hill, and knowing things were only going to get worse in the next few weeks sent an icy chill down my spine. I looked over at Heiwan, who had the blaster aimed and ready just in case. Adhara quickly helped Kat with her positioning, and the pretty soldier stood poised and ready for the attack. Despite our ample weaponry, the sight of the enormous Triceratops charging straight at us in the cluster of trees made my pulse skyrocket, and I made sure the blade of my fire sword was out and ready for action. The ground shuddered heavily as the beast got closer, and Adhara held her hand up to stop Kat from shooting until the signal was given.
"Now,"
the alien said in a completely calm tone, and Kat pulled the trigger of the razor-thin gun. The bullet was impacted between the dino's eyes in less than a second, and the creature immediately stumbled over its massive feet for several terrifying paces. Then it heaved forward and crashed with a thud that seemed to shake the entire hillside. Dirt and grass piled up under the weight of the beast, but then the body came to a stop and everything went still. "One bullet," I blurted out as I stared at the body. "That gun just took down a fucking Triceratops with a single bullet?"
"Holy shit, I love these weapons,"
Kat chuckled with a lopsided grin.
"Try the sword on it,"
Heiwan urged.
"See if you can cut it."
We walked slightly further downhill, but I made sure we didn't stray too far from the ship so that we would be able to run for cover if any other dinos appeared. It wasn't far to reach the massive corpse, since the bastard hurled itself about 20 feet before it dropped. But even though the dino was laying still, I couldn't quite believe it had really been killed with a single bullet. I studied the massive sternum and neck as we approached, just to make sure it really wasn't breathing, and I half expected its eyes to fly open as if it had just been playing dead. The dino stayed silent and still, and I shook my head as I tried to process that we had really finished the fucker off with one shot.
"Do it,"
Heiwan hissed, and nudged the arm I held the sword in.
"I will if you don't."
I lifted the glowing blade with two hands on the hilt and held it poised above the beast's neck. Then I took a deep breath as I remembered the soldiers who had chopped up dino bodies at the military base. They had needed scores of men and multiple tools to even begin to slice through the corpses, and it seemed impossible that the blade in my hands could really cut through the thick hide and such a broad neck. I shook my head in disbelief, and then I swung the weapon down onto the dino's neck. The sword sliced through the scales and straight through bone without any difficulties, and it felt like I had just cut a spongy slice of cake as my arms moved down with hardly any resistance. After only a little sawing action, the blade made it all the way through and struck the ground, and I tore it free to see the black blade didn't even have dino blood on it. Then I laughed as I pressed the button on the hilt, and the blade vanished again. "Oh, this shit is incredible," I chuckled. "It took a ton of soldiers to cut through the dinos back at the airbase. I just did it with one movement."
"That was so sexy,"
Heiwan murmured, and I turned to see her biting her lip and eyeing my biceps.
"I want to go at offing something,"
Becca declared with a pout.
"Everyone's gotten to do some alien dino slaying except me. Can I try the evaporator?"
"Be my guest."
Kat handed Becca the sharp gun, and the blonde waved it above her head like a trophy before she brought it down to inspect it.
"God, this little devil is so sleek and discreet,"
the blonde Brit swooned.
"I feel like a space ninja." "The one at the top,"
Adhara reminded her.
"Aim right at the biggest part of the body and move back, because sometimes it is messy."
We all shuffled uphill, and Becca aimed the razor-thin gun toward the fallen dino. She threw me a wink when she caught me eyeing her shooting stance, and then she pulled the lever on the top of the weapon. What happened next looked like something straight out of a sci-fi movie. There was a trail of white light that ran from the sleek muzzle of the sharp gun to the Triceratops, and there was a second when the body seemed to glow like a projection. Then the white light vanished, and the huge carcass of the beast suddenly vanished and was replaced by a giant oozing puddle of brownish goop. I choked as the smell violently wafted toward us, and it smelled like a funky cross between a skunk, sulfur, and scorched rubber. I spluttered on the fumes and repulsive stench, and my eyes started to burn as my gag reflex kicked in.
"Oh, fucking hell,"
Becca gagged.
"That is the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life, including giant piles of steaming dino shit."
Heiwan had pulled her jacket up over her nose, and Kat bent over and spat onto the ground as her face turned pale.
"Is it that bad?"
Adhara asked as she watched our disgusted faces.
I did not know a human nose would be so sensitive.
Are you just better than us in every way? I laughed, as I tried to only breathe through my mouth.
Many ways?
The alien smiled.
Not all. But I want you to be better at battles. You fight good, but the weapons are inferior. It is upsetting to watch. I do not like this.
Fair enough. I laughed through another gag. We'll work on that for you.
No, you'll use my weapons,
Adhara decided.
Take what you need.
Wait. The muscles in my face froze. You're serious? You're letting us use this stuff whenever we need to?
Yes.
Adhara nodded once.
Ah, thank you!
Heiwan squealed as she jumped up and down.
I am happy to help your fighting improve,
the alien said.
You are good with weapons, and your aim is good. But these are much better than primitive guns with no sharp bullets.
You bet your ass they are,
Kat chuckled. You're the best, I said, as the girls celebrated. Really, this is fucking amazing. You don't know how much this helps us.
I do,
the alien replied with a raised eyebrow.
But I am happy it makes you happy. You are a male who has many females to protect and breed with, and the family inside needs your strength. You should use the good weapons.
I grinned in appreciation, and Adhara's cheeks seemed to darken in shade again, but she quickly looked away before I could respond.
Best day ever!
Becca cheered.
My mom can never worry about me ever again. I'm just gonna flash this little vaporizing puppy in her face and tell her I'm going out for a night in Dinoland. Oh, shit!
Heiwan said as she suddenly stopped jumping around.
Dino date nights! That can be a thing!
Adhara smiled softly, and then she turned and started to walk back up the hill to the spaceship. I took one final look at the pile of gunk which had once been a dinosaur, and then I followed the alien up the hillside. Her silver uniform shone in the strangest way while her long legs strode up the hill, and she kept a pace that seemed to come naturally to her, but was almost hard to keep up with. When we were able to breathe without retching, I turned to look at the girls behind me, and they were all smiling at one another and the alien weapons in a way that showed they were as excited as I was about our new armory.
You know what this means for Raven Hall?
Kat asked.
We can kill dinos on the hillside near the castle and just evaporate them away. We can get rid of the bodies so easily, they won't be around long enough to attract attention.
No more hauling ass all over the damn place to lure starving dinos away, I agreed.
We'll need to hand out gas masks first,
Becca said as she wrinkled her nose.
But yeah, that is awesome, actually. Can we just sit on the roof and blast everything that moves?
Fuck the machine gun,
Kat grinned.
We put this lot in the attic, and we never have to leave the building to thin out the herd again.
Maybe we should keep the locals on the earth weapons, I said. We're already experienced with weapons in general, but I don't think someone who's never held a gun should be handed the blaster.
I think this also.
Adhara nodded as she glanced over her shoulder. I noticed her expression was infinitely less tense than it had been since she crash-landed here, and her green eyes shone bright in the same intelligent way, but her focused scowl wasn't in place.
The engine should have cooled enough,
she said to me.
When the ships crash, they reserve power for emergencies. You can only use little bits at a time until the engine comes back on in full. Now we should test the wiring for the radio.
I glanced up at the sky, and the high I'd been riding on from the alien weapon lesson dropped slightly as I remembered the various threats that promised to visit. Between the Black Chopper and Adhara's incoming fleet, it felt like just a matter of time before something that wanted to kill us appeared in the sky, and that wasn't even including the constant threat of dinos. When we arrived back at the ship, Adhara disappeared inside to turn off the force field.
Can you believe this stuff?
Kat asked.
I want to attach a blaster to the hood of my jeep.
I wonder if I can shoot a sharp gun one-handed on a motorbike.
Heiwan mused.
It's so light.
It's still long, I chuckled. The force field zapped off, and we made our way into the ship to see Adhara looking excited as she pressed a series of buttons in a quick sequence. Her lilac fingers twisted a large dial, and suddenly the ship shook under our feet. What was that? I asked, as I steadied myself and grabbed Heiwan to stop her tripping. Is the engine back on?
Not quite,
the alien replied.
But the radio is.
Yay!
Becca shouted as she bounced up and down.
You did it! Now tell your buddies not to come kill us and to call off the whole dino attack thing.
Adhara smiled a little tensely, but she nodded, and then she took a deep breath that made her gills ripple. A moment later, the alien woman made a noise that sounded like she was half singing, half humming, and it reminded me of whale songs, but with a slight chirp at the end of each call. It was one of the oddest and most beautiful sounds I'd ever heard, and it made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, but Adhara's smile quickly fell. Then she made the noise a couple more times as her focused scowl returned. "Everything okay?" I asked, and glanced around the ship.
"No,"
the alien replied.
"You see that light at the top? It will be green if the message is sent, and there will be a message said out loud to confirm. I am trying to send the message out, but it is not working."
Adhara put her hands on her slim hips and made a different but equally mesmerizing sound as she glared up at the ceiling. I glanced at the girls, and Becca pulled an awkward face as we waited for something to happen.
"Why?"
Adhara demanded as she rounded on us with flaring gills.
"Do the satellites on your large home not work at all?"